This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hull Show. We're still trying to recover from the rough ending for the UNC Bears on Friday night, but you know what? We get to turn around and do it all over again, starting on Thursday with CU and Georgia Tech. Going to be a blast there. Friday, we're going to be live and on location at CBM Potts in Fort Collins for their Friday Night Lights. It's kind of their preview, their big preview and festival to ramp up for the CSU football season. So we were at UNC Friday last Friday. We're going to be doing CSU stuff this Friday. It doesn't get any better than that. Well, maybe it does. Maybe with this next guest. Joining me now, Chris Dempsey. He's our Nuggets insider. Chris, I find myself, anytime Michael Porter Jr. does his podcast or there's clips about it, I have to go all in and watch all of it. He reveals a lot about the NBA, about the Nuggets, and a bunch more. I don't know if you caught his Curious Mike podcast where he talked to Peyton Watson recently.
I did. And, you know, I think the thing that caught my attention the most was obviously when he asked about the injury at the in the playoffs. And you know, it's interesting because, well, first of all, Peyton Watson said that he was legit injured. So he got injured originally in a game in New York and then was out for a while, and then came back and got injured in the 80th game against the Utah Jazz again, same hamstring. What he said is when they evaluated him after that Utah game, they told him that the hamstring was as damaged as it was when he first did it in New York, which was a grade 2 hamstring strain. And if then that's the case, then there's no way he would have played in the playoffs. And that's what he is saying is the case. He also said that he thought that the Nuggets ramped him up maybe a little bit too fast going into that Utah game, and probably was, you know, he probably should not have played in that game, was his point. So, you know, there's just a lot going around, and you know, you have a player who's now playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You had a Nuggets team that was very injured. It wasn't just him that was in and out of the lineup, right? It was Christian Brown with the ankle, and then it was Aaron Gordon with the calf and hamstrings as well. And so, you know, is there a conversation to be had? Because Christian Brown, during the middle of the season, also said he was ramped up. He came back too early, so maybe that's just something that the Nuggets are looking at or have already, and you would have to have done that by now. Just exactly what the procedures are for bringing players back, and are there meaningful changes to be made?
Well, what is it, Chris? I mean, you would know this, like, because, you know, in the playoffs, in that series against OKC, we all talked about it. You know, Gordon's hurt, Porter's hurt, Russell Westbrook's hurt. Guys are hurt like crazy. Is this a point where the Nuggets maybe give in to the players too much, where the players are saying, hey, we're good to go, but a lot of organizations would say, no, you're not, we've evaluated, you're not good to go? Or is it the Nuggets kind of forcing the issue, like, you'll be fine? I mean, it does kind of, when you hear Peyton Watson talk, and then I know Porter talked about his thing too, it does make you wonder just how they're handling injuries around there.
Yeah, from Peyton Watson's point of view, it sounds like he felt maybe he was a little rushed coming back. And that would have been, you know, obviously on the organization, making him feel that way to whatever degree. And Christian Brown said something similar. Maybe he came back a little bit too fast. And so, sometimes you do have to keep the player, you know, from himself, save him from himself. And I think in a great many of these cases, these players do want to come back quickly. You know, they feel an obligation to the team. They feel an obligation to the city. They, you know, all the things in that pot. And so sometimes they want to come back quickly. Yeah, you know, Jason Tatum coming back from his pretty really devastating injury last year was one of them. You know, you had to wonder if the player wanted to come back before he was actually really ready to come back, and it worked out for him. It was fine. But I think all of these cases are different. And but if you're an organization, if you're the Nuggets, you probably do have to look at what your procedures are here, and if they need to be altered in some way, shape, or form, so that at the very least, when you're going forward, especially with these soft tissue injuries, that maybe now you have a plan that works, that is able to keep a player on the court instead of on the court re-injuring and then having to go through that process all over again. The team has to look at what it's doing in these areas, as well as in instances where players might want to push themselves to come back, and then you're saying, okay, well, let's just pump the brakes and make sure that we're being cautious here. I'm going to guess that the Nuggets are going to really start erring on the side of being cautious and with a lot of these injuries going forward.
Chris Dempsey joining us. Well, what's interesting about it too, Chris, is when you hear that quote from Peyton Watson, maybe they pushed me a little too soon. They wanted me to get up and running a little too soon. But the fact is they didn't. I mean, we didn't see Peyton Watson play in those playoffs. So I don't know. As I'm listening to this, it just sounded kind of odd because were they pissed? You know, were they going at when he said, "Hey, here's the deal. I can't go," and then they're trying to force the issue. It was really fascinating and kind of revealing, I guess, about both sides.
Yeah, and sometimes it is a situation where the player just doesn't feel comfortable enough to play. So if in this situation, the Nuggets cleared him to play, and I don't know this to be true, but if they did, cleared him to play, but he felt that the hamstring wasn't strong enough for him to be able to really get out there and be effective, that is a scenario that I could see happening for sure. I mean, that's that happens all the time in a lot of different sports. I don't think that the Nuggets would push a player who's clearly injured back onto the court. Like, I don't think that's the kind of operation that they're running. You know what I'm saying? If there was a little bit of an early ramp up at the end of the regular season and he didn't feel and if he did go out there in that instance, right, and he got re-injured, then you could understand why Peyton Watson would be a little more apprehensive about doing the same thing in the playoffs.
It's very fascinating to see. Now they go forward here, Chris. We hear Joker, playing for Serbia. He was asked about it and answered. He's like, "I'm focused on this, but we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay." How do you think Nikola Jokic has viewed the Nuggets offseason thus far? Because, again, you hear tons of people out there, "Oh, he's not coming back." We talked about it a little bit last week. Now you're seeing, like, Lakers stuff where, hey, once the ownership situation is all figured out for the Lakers, they're going to make the full court press for Nikola Jokic. How does that stuff all hit you, in particularly talking about the Joker?
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is. We're going into an area here where it's pretty rare. And it's pretty rare because there are a lot of things happening at once. One, you have one of the greatest players ever to play in the NBA at the end of his contract. But doing that of his own volition, right? Keep pushing it off so that the money at the end of the rainbow is even bigger when he gets to it. At the same time, the same player, Nikola, has said multiple times that he wants to end his career as a Nugget. At the same time, he has mentioned in the past that he would like to play with Luka Doncic, and you have a team in the Lakers that might just have cap space, and then you have a team in Greece who's also going to come at him with a whole bunch of money, a bucket of money, and then it just puts doubts in your head. And so that's where we are, and you have all of these, you're juggling all these balls at once, and we're wondering, well, wait, is he coming back? It's just enough doubt out there because there are actual real viable things that could maybe sway Nikola Jokic away from the Denver Nuggets. I still don't think that's going to be the case, like just personally speaking. But I have to acknowledge that I am nowhere near as convicted about that as I was, let's just call it 6 months
right,
ago.
Right, right.
You know?
So, yeah.
It'll be interesting.
I mean, you and me both. I can hear him say it over and over again. You know, we're going to be okay. I want to be a Nugget. Even if we don't win another championship here, I want to retire as a Denver Nugget. But the outside noise and the fact that we don't have a contract signed, even though we know about the money situation, still just makes me more uneasy than it did, you know, a year ago at this time. I was way more confident a year ago. Say, oh, no, he's just waiting to sign, blah, blah, blah. The same kind of situation. It's just more information has been given to us.
Correct. It's like it's the thing that's different here is that there are outside forces where we can't just rule them out as just – we can't just dismiss them as being ridiculous. The minute that you can't just start dismissing everything as being like, nah, that is not going to happen in this situation. Once you start to get into that, that's where a lot of the anxiety has started to come because, you know, it's – we all know that even – you can't predict the future – and even if you have the best intentions or even if you intend to do this one thing, life is life, right? I mean, there are things that can sway your decision. And we've seen Nikola Jokic choose the Nuggets over and over and over again with all the contract situations, with all the contract extensions in his career. But this one now is the most interesting one because there's no more years on. I mean, after this, he can player option. He can decline the player option and become an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, while we believe that the Nuggets are the leaders in the clubhouse to obviously retain his services, we no longer know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And because it's his option here to decline, then anybody can now say, hey, look, we have cap space. We have hundreds of millions of dollars, too. Why don't you come here and play? And now we just have to wonder if he's, you know, it's swayable. Can his mind be changed? I think we went into this summer thinking no, but as you said, more information, more teams, more individuals, weird circumstances, and now we're all kind of wondering. Okay, well I guess now we're just gonna have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very unsettling feeling, Chris. I got to tell you, it's
really
unsettling.
It really is.
Chris, before we let you go, man, those Buffaloes in action against Georgia Tech on Thursday, huge game. There's a lot of noise surrounding the program, but if you go win, it erases everything. I mean, at least for 1 week. You like the Buffs taking care of business on Thursday?
Well, I think it's a 50-50. It's 50-50 for me. I think this. I think that, you know, Georgia Tech working in CU's favor is the fact that they are running a completely different offense than what they ran last year. And Georgia Tech beat them here in Boulder last year. So, you know, from a film standpoint, you know, Georgia Tech is going to have to go into the offensive coordinator's history here and find some instances of this go-go offense that he has created and try to understand what they're up against. That I think that gives CU, at least early in the game, first quarter and a half, you know, the element of surprise. Georgia Tech's not going to exactly know how CU is going to be come out and play. And so in that respect, if CU can grab a lead and then try to hold on to a lead, maybe you can steal a road victory. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the odds makers say. I can't imagine that CU is favored in this game. But to your point, if they are able to win and look good doing it, look like they, the summer was good to them and they were, you know, you put good players on the field and great schemes on the field, then maybe the season, now you got Weber State next and maybe the season can really take off. But I'll be lying to you if I told you I wasn't at least a little bit scared what the outcome can be.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Juju play. And,
I am too.
And what the defensive changes might have been as well. We have no clue, most of the players on this football team. So We're all going to get introduced to him here in a couple of days.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, when this opened, -7, now -6.5. So that's what we think. Should be interesting, Chris, my man. Fun football weekend. Devastated here with the Greeley, with UNC's loss. That was a tough one. But
I know.
You know, we turn it around. We do it all over again this weekend. It's football. We're going to be heartbroken. It's all fun.
I'm glad college football is back. It's going to be great. And I think CSU, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Jim Moore Jr. does up there, because I just have a whole lot of respect for him as a football coach and what he was able to do at UConn. And we were just watching, who was it that had UConn's offensive coordinator come over? It was TCU.
Yeah.
So I'm super psyched to see all the college football here, but in particular, what Jim Moore's team looks like up there in Fort Collins, because I think it could be a really, really cool experience.
It's going to be fun. A lot of great storylines surrounding these teams. Chris, always appreciate you, my man. We'll catch up with you next Monday.
All right, my guy. We'll talk to you.
11:50 the time, Michael. We will take a short break. It's a huge week. Huge week for the Buffaloes. Huge week for the Rams. All that. It was a rough week for the Mountain West. Talk about that coming up a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.